Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, these are the ones who came to David at Ziklag while he was still restricted because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men who helped him in war. They were equipped with bows, using both the right hand and the left to sling stones and to shoot arrows from the bow. They were Saul's kinsmen from Benjamin. The chief was Ahiezer, then Joash, the sons of Shema and the Gibeathite, and Jeziel and Pelet, the sons of Azmaveth, and Berekah and Jehu, the Anathothite, and Ishmaiah, the Gibeonite, a mighty man among the 30 and over the 30, then Jeremiah, Jahaziel, Johanan, Jozabad, the Gederathite, Eluzai, Jeremoth, Beliah, Shemarah, Shephtiah, and the Herophite, Elkanah, Ishiah, Azrael, Jozir, Jeshubim, and the Korathites, and Joelah, and Zebediah, the sons of Jehoram of Gedor. And from the Gadites there came over to David in the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, and whose faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as the gazelles on the mountains. Ezer was the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmanah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Johanan the eighth, Elzabad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, Machbani the 11th. These are the sons of Gad, were captains of the army, who was least was equal to 100, and the greatest to 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valleys, both to the east and to the west. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to the stronghold to David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, "If you come peacefully to me to help me, my heart shall be united with you. But if you betray me to my adversaries, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look on it and decide." Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was the chief of the 30, and he said, "We are yours, O David, and with you, O son of Jesse, peace, peace to you, and peace to him who helps you. Indeed, your God helps you." Then David received them and made them captains of the band. From Manasseh also some defected to David when he was about to go to battle with the Philistines against Saul. But they did not help them, for the lords of the Philistines, after consultation, sent him away, saying, "At the cost of our heads, he may defect to his master Saul." As he went to Ziklag, there defected to him from Manasseh Abna, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilatai, captains of thousands who belonged to Manasseh. And they helped David against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the army. For day by day, men came to David to help him until there was a great army like the army of God. Now, there are the numbers of the divisions equipped for war who came to David at Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. The sons of Judah who bore shield and spear were 6,800 equipped for war. Of the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor for war, 7,100. Of the sons of Levi, 4,600. Now Jehoiada was the leader of the house of Aaron, and with him were 3,700. Also Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. And of the sons of Benjamin, Saul's kinsmen, 3,000. For until now, the greatest part of them had kept their allegiance to the house of Saul. And of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous men in their father's households. And of the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. And of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. Of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out in the army, who could draw up in battle formation with all kinds of weapons of war and help David with an undivided heart. And of Naphtali, there were 1,000 captains, and with them 37,000 with shield and spear. And of the Danites, who could draw up in battle formation, there were 28,600. And of Asher, there were 40,000 who went out in the army to draw up in battle formation. And from the other side of the Jordan, of the Reubenites and the Gadites and of the half-tribe of Manasseh, there were 120,000 with all kinds of weapons of war for the battle. All these, being men of war who could draw up in battle formation, came to Hebron with a perfect heart to make David king over Israel. And all the rest And all the rest also of Israel were of one mind to make David king. And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their kinsmen had prepared for them. Moreover, those who were near to them, even as far as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought food on donkeys, camels, mules, and on oxen, great quantities of flour cakes, fig cakes, and bunches of raisins, wine, oil, oxen, and sheep. There was joy indeed in Israel. Amen. And so we're basically going through a bit of a summary chapter dealing with David. So there's three specific times during David's rule that they're commenting on. The first, when he was in Ziklag, remember he was kind of hiding around. The second, when David was in the stronghold of the wilderness. And the last one is when they're gathered at Hebron to make him king. And so he's just describing these are the guys that came, that were part of him, that came to him during these specific times. And obviously, the further along they were with him, the more mightier that they were in this regard. And so the first part you had those that were David and Ziklag. And so remember, he was there because he was being restricted by King Saul. Now, it's really important to note, especially in verse 2, that most of these men, or a lot of these men that were really skilled in war, actually came from the tribe of Benjamin. They were Saul's companions. They were Saul's family. They were his tribe in that regard, which gives you a little nod to the honesty and the uprightness of David. And so these men recognized that Saul was acting evil, but David was pure. And you can tell that they understood that because they aligned themselves to David during this time. And so these guys were ambidextrous. They were greatly, greatly skilled warriors. And so it kind of names these guys out. And so it's just to give us an idea that David was considered in Israel to be an upright man of God in good standing with the Lord, despite what Saul, his king, was doing to him. And then you get David, now he's in the stronghold in the wilderness, and then the tribes begin to come out to him. The Gadites begin to come out, and there's a few phrases there. They were trained for war. They could handle a shield and spear, and it says their faces were like the faces of lions. And so obviously we got this idea they were fierce, but mostly what it meant was that they were relentless. And so if you ever see like National Geographic and you see once lions grab a prey, they don't give up, man. I mean, these guys running all over the wilderness to try to grab their prey, and that's what these guys were like. They were tenacious warriors. And so the idea of their faces were like lions, and they were swift as the gazelles on the mountains. And it lists these guys and who they were, but it wasn't a lot of people. So the the way that Ezra is relaying this idea is, if you look at verse 14, it says, "These are the sons of Gad, were captains of the army. He who was least was equal to 100, and the greatest to 1,000. In other words, they were small in number, but they were mighty in battle. And so the one that was the least, he was worth 100 soldiers. The one that was really good, they were worth 1,000 soldiers. And it gives you an idea of the preeminence of these men as warriors that David is really amassing during this time. And people are coming from all over to join him. Even so, verse 16, we get the tribe of Benjamin and Judah come to the stronghold of David now. And this is now when his fighting with Saul is the fiercest. Or Saul's, really going after him. So now he's basically hiding out. And David comes out to meet them because obviously these are their kinsmen again. And so the first part, when they were in Ziklag, these guys are very loyal to David. Now these are other sons of Benjamin, and so they come out to this place, and you could tell that David was a little weary of them, And so he says, hey, if you come out here, I mean, he says, if you come peacefully to me to help me, my heart shall be united with you. But if you betray me to my adversaries, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look on it and decide. And then notice what happens. Very interesting. You don't see this happening a lot in the Old Testament. Verse 18 says, the Spirit came upon Amasai. He was one of the leaders of this tribe. And he was chief of the 30, and he said, we are yours, O David. And he basically gives himself, and with you, son of Jesse, peace, peace to you, peace to him who helps you. Indeed, your God helps you. He's prophesying, basically. And so you have an instance now where the Spirit of the Lord is ratifying David's leadership, particularly to the sons of Benjamin. And you can imagine that during this interlude that's happening here, that the sons of Benjamin were unsure if they should join forces with David. And so it takes the Spirit of the Lord to come down and bring that confirmation that truly the God is with David. And so we see this happening. And then you see the tribe of Manasseh also defected to David. Now remember, all these guys doing this, obviously against Saul, this would be considered an act of treason and punishable by death and all kinds of things. So they're risking something by going over to David and helping him. And so he's got this great army. And then the last section is at Hebron. And now Saul is done, basically. And so now David is anointed king. And so obviously tons of people gather around to him. So if you look at this progression, these are like the most faithful. If we look at kind of modern terms, they were like early adopters, right? And then later on, you got different people came later on when it's a little more safer. Just a few things to note. First of all, notice that in verse 29, the sons of Benjamin, there's only 3,000 of them that come. So there were others that were actually very loyal still to the house of Saul. And in fact, this gathering at Hebron only happens after the death, I think I mentioned it yesterday, of Ishbosheth. And so Ishbosheth, the son, is killed. And so now people gather together, namely, supposedly the last heir to the throne in that regard. But yet still, the tribe of Benjamin, there were still many. And it says there, for in 29, for until now, the greatest part of them had kept their allegiance to the house of Saul. Now, verse 32 is a really, really important passage here, especially related to the whole scene that's going on. And now you had the sons of Issachar. Now, everyone else before, they were mighty warriors. They were courageous in battle. They were fierce like lions. And so you have this idea that only the warriors joined with David during this time. You could have this sense that he kind of had like the rough and tumble group. If you're thinking of like in college, you know, only the jocks came around David. Well, actually, the nerds also came around David. And so we see the sons of Issachar. These are men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. And so now, here are these guys with knowledge who understood the times, which meant that they were scientists, they were philosophers, they were astronomers, they were the learned men during that time. These guys are the ones that had PhDs and, you know, all these kinds of things. And they also joined with David. So it wasn't just the big buff guys. It was actually the smart guys. And the sons of Issachar, these guys were famous. You see this written in a couple other passages in the scriptures. And they really very, not only very intelligent, because, I mean, there's a lot of smart people, you know. But these guys also had street smarts. They knew what to do with their intelligence. And in many ways, they were seers in a certain way. And they knew what Israel should be doing. And you need people like this. You need this kind of wisdom to flow through the army. You need the muscle, of course, but you also need the strategists as well. And that's what you have with the sons of Issachar. And then And it continues to go on. They gather together, I mean, thousands upon thousands, and they feast and to set up the kingdom of David. So let's go back to 32, the sons of Issachar, for a moment. These are men who understood their times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Smart, intelligent, but the key there is they had keen discernment. Isn't this fantastic? I know there's a lot of smart people in this world. There's a lot of smart people in our church. But not a lot of people have discernment. It's two totally different things. Intelligence, that's your own brain power. I mean, all given from God, obviously. But how the idea of discernment is how we wield the intelligence that God has given to us. This is another word we use is the word wisdom. And wisdom really is simply stated just skill at living life. And these guys not only were men who understood the times, but they had knowledge of what Israel should do. They had keen discernment of how they should be able to use their intelligence in different ways. And if there's anything, I mean, you know, every once in a while when I'm praying, you know, I always say, God, man, I wish you would have made me a lot smarter. You know, I mean, just it would be just so much better. It's crazy. When I was younger, I would always just, Lord, just make me stronger. You know what I mean? As I get older, it's like, Lord, make me smarter. I should have actually been praying smarter earlier on in that regard, because your focus shifts a little bit. It's all about being big and strong and athletic, you know, when you're young. Now, as you get older, it's really our brain power. But a lot of times when I'm praying in that way, I realize, no, actually, I don't want to be smarter. God, I want to have discernment. That's what I want. And discernment is wisdom is part of it, but it's a little beyond wisdom. It's not just about having intellectual capacity. That's always good. But really having the wisdom or this discernment to be able to use that capacity to bring some very, very good results in that regard. And so I think it's appropriate today as we go into our worship and prayer time that we pray that we'd be like the sons of Issachar, that we would know the times that we're living in, but also that we would know what to do in these times. And you got to believe that in running a church, man, we need a lot of wisdom. We need a lot of discernment. For you guys that are leaders in your home, man, you need a lot of discernment in your home, in all the decisions that you make, in your work. You need a lot of wisdom, a lot of discernment, a lot of insight from the Lord of what to do and decisions to make. And so I think it's so appropriate that we can come this morning and we can pray and say, Lord, would you grant me discernment? And maybe there's a few decisions or things that are pressing on you right now. You can ask God for wisdom. You know, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. Ask in faith. Don't waver, but just ask in faith. And he says, God will grant it to you. And so as we close our eyes and let's do that today. Let's first of all, let's start off and let's hallow his name and thanking God, thanking Jesus that the God of all wisdom comes to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we continue to hallow his name, let's ask God for his wisdom to come down, for keen discernment that we would know the times that we're living in, and we would know what we should be doing. Let's pray together.
Yeah.
Let's pray this morning, huh? Let's ask God for wisdom. Let's thank Him that He gives us all things in Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for discernment, that we would be like the sons of Issachar, that we understand our times, and then we would know what we should be doing. Pray for discernment at work, in your home, in your ministry. Well, let's just ask God to grant us this wisdom from on high. Well, let's pray. Let's pray over our community as they're battling through cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing and a spiritual awakening. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China today. And let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this land. Pray for SP Beijing, Pastor Hyunsu, and the leaders there. Pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and continue to lift up the churches before the Lord. Really ask God to really flow. I don't know if you heard that they're starting a government rating system. By which they're going to judge each person's trustworthiness. And it's basically their commitment to the Communist Party. And it's going to be crazy. You can go online and read about it. And something's going on in this country. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to just brood over them. Let's lift up our board. Let's ask God to lead our team with incredible discernment. Let's cover our family members and ask God's protection and real wisdom to lead. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries. Let's lift up our young adults, especially the Single Life Workshop, and pray that our singles would sign up. And let's also pray for Yahweh Eats. That God would really connect them together, and we'll continue to have a real good follow-through from the retreat. Let's lift up our men's ministry, our Monday prayer, our Pure Desire, the men's fraternity. They'll continue to run smoothly and continue to attract men to continued growth. And let's pray for the women's ministry, the Lift, and also discipleship classes that are starting soon. And let's pray that God would really draw women to each other and to Him. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for God's provision over our space and resources for that. Let's continue to lift up a benefactor and continue to pray for our vision fund. And please pray for our sixth floor renovations right now. We haven't even started on the third floor yet, but just pray that the process would go smoothly and quickly. Let's pray for house churches today. Let's pray for Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, House to House, Island Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood and TST. Wednesday nights are our busiest house church night. Let's pray for our leaders to gather together and really lead their house churches into the presence of the Lord, especially as we close out this season of house church, that we would all finish well tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for God, 1 Chronicles 12. God, we thank you for the sons of Issachar, God. Lord, it reminds us how much we need to rely on you, God, how much more we need to pray and really seek your face, God, especially in the midst of so many decisions that we need to make, God, so many plans, God, Lord, that you have in store for us, and so that we be rightly aligned with you, God, so that Not that we would be afraid of making mistakes, Lord, but that we would live out the fullness of what you want, Lord, out of our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray for intelligence, God. We pray for wisdom. We pray for discernment, God. Lord, help us, God, we pray. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's close in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.